faithfulness to the skies.
Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals.
Take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delight.
For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light.
Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart.
Now let's welcome Pastor Tim. His message today is the steadfast love.
Thank you, John and Felicia. And I have it plugged in. I hope they're switching it over soon. Good morning to everyone. Happy MLK weekend. I think today, this weekend is usually a weekend where a number of us go off and go skiing. And also today, I think you've noticed in the bulletin that many of us are actually leading the children's ministry this morning. So this our attendance here is due to all those factors. But those of you who are here, it's wonderful that you're here celebrating and worshiping God with us. And I hope and pray that the message, the experience that you have, the songs that we've been singing will just inspire you and make you feel even more committed to your faith and even more loving to God and experience God's love. So just to start us off, our theme for this year is, shout it all out, first love. Okay, so it's a play on words, but it is about rekindling God's God as our first love. It's also about making love our first priority. So we are starting our year with a number of sermons that focus on God's love. Now, why is that? Well, it's because this. Very simple. Love is easily misunderstood. And sometimes we think of love as a feeling, as something romantic. You know that feeling you get when you're with someone you're attracted to, right? Any of you can relate to that? Who cannot? I don't know. Some of us may not have any attractions, but whatever the case is, I think most of us feel some attraction. So our first love might be that moment when our hearts start beating faster and faster and faster. You want to spend all your time with this person that you're attracted to. And yes, you want to get closer to this person, maybe even kiss that person. And it's even better to kiss that person when the sun is setting right behind you and you can take a picture of it and put it on Facebook. And not only kissing, you don't want to stop kissing there. You want to continue kissing until it gets dark so that you can magically transport from the beach to a patio overlooking the city lights and then take another Facebook picture there. Okay, romantic love. This is not a bad thing, actually. Having romantic love is not bad. It's actually a 19th century invention, and I don't think it's terrible. It's okay. It's nice to feel passionate, and I think it keeps you going. Your blood is pumping when you're feeling this romantic love. So I don't think it's wrong to have romantic love, and especially for those of us who are engineer types, it's especially important that we learn to have more romantic love, don't you think? It's not easy because we're usually very, technical thinking about solving problems. But when you have romantic love, you put all that aside and you just let your feelings flow. And I don't think that romantic love, as I said, is a bad thing to have. It's actually pretty good. It greases a relationship. It makes relationships feel better. It's also risky because it can also lead to, misunderstanding. Anyway, I don't have to go through that. You've seen it in Hollywood movies. You've seen it on television. Romantic love is not necessarily a bad idea. But it is not necessarily the biblical ideal for love. God's love is not always, maybe shouldn't primarily be seen as a feeling. God's love can often confuse us. I mean, we can often get confused when we associate a feeling, like a romantic feeling, with love for God. Okay? And love can also be confused, the biblical understanding of love can also be confused with a love for a people, a love for a community. So most of you, I think, I looked at your Facebook pages, are very excited. We are a Taiwanese church, I guess. And I was very surprised that even some young folks who were raised in America were posting up this picture of President Tsai, who just won the elections in Taiwan. And she, of course, represents the, the Green Party, or the party that has traditionally sought for Taiwanese independence. And this, of course, creates a whole geopolitical scenario in between China and Taiwan that's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But she is, you know, this is an incredible story because she's the first female president of Taiwan and the first, maybe the most powerful woman in the Chinese-speaking world today. So she's a progressive, and she was supported by people who love Taiwan and who are not convinced that about being too close to the People's Republic of China. So politics aside, the point is people who care about this love a people. They love the Taiwanese people, the Taiwanese nation. Is this similar to God's love? A little bit. God loves people too. God loved the people of Israel. He chose them out of all the nations of the earth to be his own people. But God's love is greater than for one nation or one people alone. So even this kind of love falls short of what God's love is and can often be misunderstood. It's different from romantic love, God's love is. It's also different from a love of a people or a national love. So we praise God that things are happening, exciting things, but on the other hand, as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, we look to a different standard of love, a higher standard of love. And that's where we turn to today. Well, I don't want to turn to it yet. I want to just give you a review. On the first Sunday of the year, Pastor Chris Liu shared about God's predestined love, where God chose us out of all the people of the world to be his own people, to accomplish his purpose. And this love, as Jesus and Paul showed us, was not only for the people of Israel, but for all people. So what we see in Jesus Christ is a revision of the Hebrew scripture, of the Old Testament tradition, of God loving only the people of Israel. Here, in Jesus Christ, we see that God's love is for all people. So even though we are chosen by God, we're not chosen by God by the basis of being identified with the people of Israel, but we're chosen by God by his grace that now overflows one nation to all the nations. Now last week, I shared a little bit about God's abiding love. And even though the people in the passage that we looked at, the people of Israel were exiled and displaced. But despite that, being exiled, displaced, and colonized, God did not leave them. And the same applies to us today. God walks with us through our ups and downs. And even though we tend to abandon him, he never abandons us. So God's love is different from and greater than human love, the love that we are able to, on our own strength, to feel and experience or share. It's much greater. And today I'll share about another quality of God's love, which I believe, and which I think biblical scholars would agree, is the fundamental aspect of God's love. Not only is it different from our form of love, but it's the basis upon which everything we believe in as Christians holds together. Okay, so let's just go through that quickly. Today's scripture sings about God's steadfast love. In Hebrew, the word for steadfast love is chesed. Can you all say that with me? Chesed. Chesed. Yeah, you got to get the guttural. It's chesed. Okay? And the word love in Hebrew can be used. There are other words for it, but this is the specific word that's used very often by the Hebrew writers. And it's tricky. I didn't do very well in Hebrew, so if you give me a Hebrew Old Testament, I will definitely not be able to identify what that word is. But I do know that the word chesed is very fundamental to understanding what God's love means. It's used three times in this psalm, and the New International Version just translates it in verses 5 and 10 as simply love. But in verse 7, the New International Version adds the word unfailing to this word love. So the word unfailing is not part of the original Hebrew, but it's a way to describe this particular kind of love. It comes closer to describing chesed love, steadfast love, unfailing love, unbreakable love, reliable, completely trustworthy love. Chesed is one of the richest and most powerful words in the Old Testament. So when verse 1 says that God's chesed reaches to the heavens, it means that God's love, this particular love, is infinitely greater than even of all creation. See, verse 1 also says that God's faithfulness reaches to the sky. So this is Jewish poetry. Whenever you read the Psalms, you please note that that's usually the way the Jewish people write their poetry. You start off with one word, one phrase, and then it's repeated, the same idea is repeated the second time. And the reason for that is because you can, if you imagine that you're in a congregation or a temple, the leader reads the first line, and then the congregation repeats the second line. So it's a call and response. So the first verse is God's love is great, God's chesed is higher than all the heavens. And then the congregation would respond, his faithfulness reaches the skies. So basically, there's the convergence of that concept that God's love and God's faithfulness are very, very similar. And scholars have often described, as they look through the entire Hebrew scripture, that chesed kind of means loving covenantal obligation. Loving covenantal obligation. God's unfailing commitment to the people of Israel. The people of Israel may not deserve God's commitment and love, but God nevertheless unshakably, completely, reliably gives that love to them anyway. So Rabbi Simla, there's a rabbi who claims that the Torah, and when I say Torah, I mean the first five books of the Old Testament, the Torah begins with chesed and ends with chesed. In other words, the Bible, entire Bible, is characterized by chesed. So the rest of the verses in Psalm 36 describes this aspect of God's chesed in other ways, but not as high as the heavens. They're also important, but the chesed is the highest. Okay, so the righteousness the faithfulness. Okay, the righteousness that the psalmist or David writes is it's like the highest mountain, right? God's righteousness is as high as the highest mountain, not as high as the skies, but as high as the highest mountain. In fact, here we have the repetition. God's justice, okay, is as deep as the ocean depth. So righteousness and justice are two words that are very similar in meaning. Again, the repetition of the poem. God's righteousness is as high as the mountain, and God's justice as deep as the sea. So once again, there's this quality that God's justice and righteousness, and there's a third line there that talks about how God preserves people and animals, right? So righteousness, justice, and preservation, they all come together. So there's a sense that this is more than just simply justice and fairness that the author is talking about. That David's not just talking about simply equal treatment and fairness that you get in a court of law. David is talking about a righteousness and a justice that's infused with chesed. And if this righteousness and justice of God is infused with chesed, it's about preservation of life. It's about compassion and mercy. So if you go to people's court, and who's the latest judge now? Wapner is retired, right? Who's Judge Judy? Right? Judge Judy is not very very sympathetic, is she? She's just about making sure everything's fair. But that's one form of justice and righteousness. But the form of justice and righteousness that God brings to this picture is one that is compassionate and merciful. So therefore, you can experience God's love and justice in a way that helps you feel like he cares about you. He loves you very much, and he wants to take care of you. He wants to preserve your life. You see the difference? So when we look at the Bible and read about justice and righteousness, let's try to always remember that behind it is God's chesed, is God's love and compassion for us. So that's why chesed and faithfulness is higher than the mountains and the oceans. Okay, it's the highest above all. Now if we go to verse 7. Verse 7 is the center of this psalm. Okay, and there we see the beginnings of the people of God responding to this realization that God's love is incredible. Right, and so David says right there that God's chesed is priceless. It's precious. And it cannot be measured or attained by human riches. It is something that none of us can ever experience just in our earthly, in our own way. It's something that's beyond beyond anything that we can own and possess. And what happens? Well, when you think about the pricelessness of God's chesed, these are other ways of trying to describe what David means by God's chesed for us. So he explains that God's love is life-giving, and it's steadfast, is reliable. He protects his people. God's people can therefore take refuge in the shadow of his wings. So the bright and relentless sun in the Middle Eastern deserts that beat down on the people of God, God provides shade for them so they won't be sunburnt, so they won't be thirsty, they won't be parched. That's what the shadow of God's wings is all about. God's love provides that shadow of protection over all of us. God's love, God's chesed, also means that God's people can live in God's house and enjoy good food. Lots and lots of good food. And I imagine not just grain, but also Asian-style food too. All right. So there's this vision that if you belong to God, you are welcome in His family, and He'll feed you and stuff you like a great mom, a mom would do. And keep on asking you, have you eaten enough? Have you eaten enough? And here's more, here's more. So God's love is about that kind of abundance, that if you and I can rest and experience His love, we'll feel that He cares for us so deeply that He'll fill us up with abundant food. God's love is about quenching our thirst. There's plenty of refreshing, cool waters nearby, even though the Middle East doesn't have that many rivers. But there's this vision of water, plentiful water everywhere, so people can never thirst. That is another vision of chesed. And finally, God's chesed is about giving life and light. Let me see if I can get these up here. Come on, slides, move it. Did it come? Oh, yeah, there it goes. It went up in there. So there's a fountain of life. There's water that there's like living water that gives us a life, and then also we see light in God's light. And light also represents purpose, direction. You need light to see where you're going. So again, we see here in this passage all these attributes of God's love, God's chesed, relating to His reliability, His love for us. He cares for us so much that no matter what we say or no matter how much we fail, He never fails. All right, so that's Psalm 36. When you read the Psalms, please remember these words. They resonate. They make a difference in the way we live every day. So just meditate and recall how loving God is as we read Psalms together. So now Isaiah, I'm going to jump to another passage, and just to wrap up this exposition about God's chesed, Isaiah has an even more dramatic view of God's chesed than David did. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10, he writes, "Though the mountains may be shaken and the hills be removed, yet the unfailing, the chesed love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you." So let's get rid of the mountains. Let's get rid of the oceans. What's even more important is God's chesed, His unfailing, utterly reliable love. All right? So I don't know how else more to explain. I guess that we can go on and on about God's reliable love, and I can ask you to reflect on your life and where has God been faithful to you and reliable to you. And if you think about it, I think you will see evidence in your life that God has been not only present, like last week's abiding love, but God has been faithful. You might have messed up, but He is there for you. And He won't change His love for you. So how do we apply this? Here are some ways. One is to look at some examples of how people have also exhibited chesed love. Okay? And if we see people who have done that, then we ourselves can find a model that maybe we can be like that too. If we trust God's Holy Spirit to guide us, we can also have this chesed love in the way we treat other people. So one is the example of Ruth and Naomi. And some of you who know the story of Ruth know that Ruth was this woman who was not a Jewish woman. She wasn't a member of God's tribes of Israel. And she, instead of, when Naomi's husband died, and Naomi, who was Jewish and was living in Midian at the time, she decided to come back home. Did I get this? Midian's right? I think the young adults studied Ruth recently. Is it Midian? That she started off in Midian. Okay, so she came back to Israel. She was a widow, and Ruth, this non-Jewish daughter-in-law, had options now. She could marry among her own people and just abandon Ruth's family, or instead, because she made this commitment to marry to be part of Ruth's family, she decided to come back with Naomi and stay with Naomi and do all she can to support Naomi through thick and thin. So the word chesed is used to describe Ruth's faithfulness to Naomi, her willingness, her kindness, her loving kindness, and her loyalty to Naomi, so that she would even join Naomi and join God's people and leave her own people. So love here is not a mood, is not a feeling. It's something that people do out of a commitment to what they, to other people, to God. It's what God does out of commitment to us. Now, I know that many times I feel this way, and I'm sure you do too. If someone treats me poorly or someone disappoints me, I tend to withdraw my affections toward that person, right? My opinions change. I might think this person's really cool, right? But then he reveals something to me, and I say, okay, not as cool as I thought, right? I don't know if you saw the episode of what's the episode of that from Big Bang Theory recently, right? Where the two guys were I think was the Indian guy and the nerdy guy, right? They formed a band and they started making music, and there was a guy who was following them. They were a real fan, so they thought this fan was really cool until they saw him in person. He was picking his nose, eating his boogies, and then at that point they said, I don't want to touch that person, right? So we tend to be like that. When someone doesn't measure up to our expectations, they're a little bit gross, then we say, forget about you, I'm not going to love you, I'm not going to care about you, I'm going to avoid you. But that's not the way God has said it's about. God sees that in all of us. He sees how bad we are. He knows our evil intents. He knows when we're doing things or thinking thoughts that are not very helpful or useful or positive. And he sees that. But yet he, like Naomi, like Ruth, is committed with us for the long run. So God's love is seen in Ruth's life. And therefore, we can do the same. We ought to do the same. And there's a word that the Jewish people call it hasidim. Be a hasidim. A hasidim is a person who has experienced God's love and wants to do more than just what the law requires. You know, Jewish people and the law, the Torah, they want to go beyond what the law requires to get to a level of love that's generous and gracious, just as reliable, the same way that God treated us. So a hasidim is a person like the bone-weary father who drives through the night to bail his drug-addicted son out of jail. That's an example of hasid love. Hasid is a mother who spends day after thankless day spoon-feeding and wiping after a disabled child. Chesed is the unsung pastor's wife whose long-suffering, tearful prayers keep her exhausted husband from falling apart at the seams. Chesed is the love that can be counted upon decade after decade. It's not about the thrill of romance, but the security of faithfulness. So we can be like that too. And the way to do that is just to remember that no matter how difficult this situation may be, no matter how hard it is to commit ourselves to another person or to, let's say, the church or to a community or to people that we dislike, because God committed himself to us without any reservation, we can do likewise towards others. That is what chesed love is about. How else can we apply chesed love? Well, here's another example. Here's a story of the rich young ruler. You know that story. He comes to Jesus. He says, you know, I fulfilled all the law, right? I'm a pretty cool dude. Everything that the Torah says to do, I've done it. But I still feel like I'm lacking something else. Jesus, what should I do? What else must I do in order to experience the fullness of salvation? And this is where Jesus becomes a Hasidim, right? Jesus is teaching about Chesed. He says, you know, one thing you lack, bro, that's this. Give away all your stuff to the poor and come follow me. So right here we see a vision that chesed love is more than just doing things and fulfilling obligations. It's more than just completing the rules, right? And just getting things done. And every church I know is very good at making up rules. Like, you know, no food allowed in the sanctuary, right? We put up signs everywhere, right? Don't do this, don't do that. Do this, do that. And chesed love goes beyond that, because it's basically saying that's not as important as this relationship between God and us. And that's what Jesus is saying right here. Yes, young man, you might have gotten everything you needed in life. You're rich. You obey the law. But you're missing this one point, is that there's a relationship here between you and me that needs to be developed. And that is what chesed love is. So chesed love, to be applied, is to learn how to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple, and not just a rule keeper. Not just one who just tries to measure. I know this hits us in the heart. Most of us who are into gaming, right? We like to measure up. We like to play games and try to level up, because we're into that. I'm not as much like that as my sons are, but we want to grind it out so that we can attain the next level. But Jesus is saying, no, beyond just performance and obligation and duty, there's this relationship that involves apprenticeship. Okay, I'm going to follow Jesus in a personal way. I'm going to walk with him as he leads me through life. So that is what chesed is. It goes beyond the legalism that occurs when all we do is think about trying to check off things and try to accomplish goals and do things that we think are right. All right. So I want you to really keep that in mind. Be a disciple. Be a follower of Jesus. It means having a personal relationship with Jesus. Having him be your apprentice. Can we do that? I think we can. So on this particular weekend that we also celebrate, as many churches are celebrating as Racial Justice Weekend, I want us to keep this in mind, that everything we fight for in terms of justice needs chesed love. Without chesed love, all the things we strive for, whether it's justice or good life, will not be fulfilling. In fact, without chesed love, justice becomes nothing more than revenge. Without chesed love, all our striving becomes nothing more than just trying to accumulate goods for ourselves without a sense of purpose. So join me as we consider how to apply chesed love to our everyday striving, and especially as we think about racial justice this weekend. I want you to just follow me as we read together some of the reflections that Martin Luther King Jr. Gave with regards to love. So I'll start with this one. Okay, I have this is MLK. I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. Can you read the next one? Love, only force. Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the... Oh, I'm sorry. Why don't you read the other one? I'm sorry, I didn't get that one right. Darkness, read together, cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. So I'm going to invite us to pray for this at this time. And I'd like for you to pray with your neighbor, okay? And think about ways in which God's chesed can be applied in your life. Is there a way that we can experience the fullness of God's steadfast love? Can we do that by going beyond just the everyday life circumstances and experience this reliable love? Can we become just as reliable as God? Maybe, probably not. But can we be people that other people can count on as we live each day? So turn to each other, brothers and sisters, and I'll give you a few moments to pray, and then I'll close in prayer and invite us all to experience more of God's chesed. Let's do that now.